tonight as we continue our Wednesday night and Sunday evening Bible study through the book of Ephesians. And of course, Paul is writing to a group of believers. They are rich beyond measure in Jesus Christ, but they were living as beggars. These verses for this evening, they take us into eternity past. And they reveal how the Lord formed His church before the world ever began. These verses here that we're going to look at tonight in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6, these teach us about God's eternal purposes in salvation. And they remind us about our essential, the enormous, the important truths that we have as children of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just some individual who had good sense to call on Jesus one day for salvation. It's because, according to Scripture, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. Now, these verses for tonight, I want us to look at verses 3 through 6 as we're going to study one of these long anthems of praise. In fact, these verses deal with praising God for His sovereignty. This morning we spoke a few moments about the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, the teaching of what does the sovereignty of God mean, that the Bible teaches divine sovereignty. And we spoke about sovereignty meaning that God is in charge, that God is in control. And so His divine, Paul praises God for His sovereign work in election. Now, when you get into predestination and election and adoption and some of these issues that we will see here in Scripture, oftentimes it becomes very complex, and yet we know that it's true. We may not understand all of these concepts that are discussed here, but nonetheless, we're speaking about our redemption in Christ Jesus. And in verse 3, we see where he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word blessed deals with being happy or to speak good of someone. In fact, oftentimes you will hear in a memorial celebration of someone's life where they are eulogized. So the word eulogy is that word. It means to speak well or to speak good of someone. Now, the source of these blessings right there in verse 3 is none other than God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the source of our blessing is identified there in that verse as God. God is good. And how true that is. God is good. In fact, in Genesis 14:20, speaking where it talks about Melchizedek, it says, "And blessed be the Most High God." In the book of Revelation chapter 5 and 13, Scripture says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." So all the way from the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, to the book of Revelation, God is called blessed. God is good. God, we speak of God as being someone who does good, who always does that which is right. Now, we like to say that God is good when things are going our way, but let me tell you, God is good whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're down in the valley of life. He's the same Lord. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so Paul here says not only is God the blessed one, but he also tells us that he is the blesser. Notice, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So many people, so oftentimes as Christians, we live far beyond, below the blessings that Christ has for us in our lives. So often we live as beggars rather than who we are in Christ Jesus. And Paul was reminding the Ephesians that they were living not like they should, that their blessings comes from the blesser, God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks there in verse 3 about our spiritual blessings in the heavenly places here in Christ. Now, I want you to think with me for a minute. When Paul says, blessed be God, he's praising God for the blessings that he gives to you and to me as his children. Just this reminds us that our God is worthy of praise all the time. I want you to think with me for just a moment about some of the things that we have in our faith. Let me tell you, we attend worship. We tithe, we witness, we pray. We do those as acts of obedience. And when we take the time to open our mouths to praise the Lord, we are giving him an offering of love. In the Old Testament, they had what was known as the free will offering. This was when they would bring their offering to the Lord, and they gave it freely. They gave it because they loved the Lord. And when they would bring their sacrifice to the Lord and offer it up freely, they were overwhelmed with the love of God for his taking care of them. And that same kind of offering is still in order today, that you and I, whenever we give of our best, we ought to give it in gratitude and praise. In fact, the psalmist said in the 119th Psalm, verse 108, accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. So as Paul comes to the Ephesians, he reminds them of their spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. He lets them know that the source of these blessings are none other than God himself. Then we see the subject of these blessings. Paul says that God hath blessed us. That word us, Paul is referring to, are the saints of God, those that are faithful. He mentions those in verse 1 as recipients of God's blessings for those that he have saved by his grace. Now, our blessings to him are the words that we say. His blessings to us are the deeds that he performs in our lives. When Paul says that God hath blessed us, it's the same word that he is used about him. In other words, God has good thoughts toward his people. We see that from Jeremiah 29:11. And God is always thinking good thoughts toward his children. These good thoughts translate then into good deeds in my life and in your life. So because we are his and because he loves us, he pours out these blessings in our lives. Now, it's really incredible when you stop to think about it, because God has chosen to save us. He has chosen to bless us. Let me tell you, it's him that chooses us. I mean, before the foundation of the world, he already knew. Before you and I were ever formed, he already knew that when we would be created, when we would be formed, that we would reach out, because the Holy Spirit that moves in the world today comes to help bring us to a place of conviction to be drawn to him. He loved us. He chose us in Jesus, and he bestows every good gift upon us. He blesses us in ways far greater than any of us can ever imagine. So the subjects of these blessings are that God has blessed us, the saints of God, those that are faithful to him. And then there's a third thing that we see in these verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every, notice that, spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's not speaking here about physical blessings. Now, all of us, of course, we are blessed beyond measure. But let me tell you, as long as we live in this life, as long as we are still a part of this physical existence in the present world that you and I live in, I mean, we're going to grow older, we're going to grow more feeble, we're going to grow where we deteriorate in our health. Let me tell you, this Paul is speaking to the Ephesians, not about their physical well-being as much here as he speaks about spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Many people have forgotten that we are, we sit in the heavenlies with Christ from the moment we get saved. Let me tell you, this world is not our home. We're just passing through this life. And so the scope of these blessings, that all spiritual blessings, that word all means total, it means whole, it means of every kind. In other words, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We've been given everything that God has to offer. And when we come to Him in faith, God opens the treasure houses of heaven, and He has authorized us to receive His unlimited spiritual resources. Let me tell you, he says there in verse 4, he says, just as he chose us in him. Just as he chose us in him. When? Before the foundation of the world, from eternity past, he was thinking about you and me, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, you and I could never plumb the depths of all the nuggets that we could find here in this first chapter that Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, to the Ephesians, and to other circular churches as well in Asia Minor, as well as how they apply to you and to me today. And he's just explaining the wonderful spiritual blessings that we have as we sit in the heavenlies with Christ. Not when we someday get to heaven, but right now in this present life, we are still sitting in the heavenlies with Christ because we are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus lives within us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. And notice that we should be holy. Take time to be holy, the song says. Let me tell you, what does it mean to be holy? What it means to be holy is to be reverent. What it means to be holy is to live a life of as much blamelessness as is humanly possible in the realm of the physical world that you and I live in. We are to strive to live holy lives, not reined in by the power of the flesh, but that we are to be reined in by the Holy Spirit of the living God because Christ lives in us. One of my very favorite of all time hymns that speaks to my heart so much is Holy, Holy, Holy. Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee. Let me tell you, you and I were chosen by him. Before the foundation of the world ever began in eternity past. And he chose us to live a life of holiness. Notice without blame before him in love. That is one of the scopes of the blessings that we are to have here with all spiritual blessings coming out of the treasure house of heaven. And we're authorized to have these unlimited spiritual resources because of our faith and trust in Christ. Notice he goes on and says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then in verse 5, he moves into this predestination. You know, there's all kinds of scholarly works that try to plumb the depths of adoption and being chosen and predestined and all of these things that many throughout the ages argue back and forth and volley back and forth. But you know, whenever you look at these, even though you and I may not quite be able to comprehend the full extent of what all of this has to really mean, the thing that you and I need to understand is that God chose us. Let me tell you, He was seeking for me, as the old hymn says so many years ago. Oh, it was wonderful. How could it be? He was seeking for me. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit of the living God is searching throughout the world tonight, seeking for that individual who will turn in faith, believing that Jesus Christ will come into their heart and life. Verse 5, Paul tells the Ephesians, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Let me tell you, we are adopted into the family of God. Bill Gaither wrote that song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you and I have been grafted in. We've been adopted into the family of God. And I'm grateful, I'm thankful that He chose us before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good will of His pleasure. According to the good will of His pleasure. In 2 Peter 1:3 it says, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then in Philippians 1:19, Paul calls what we possess in the Christ the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We are rich in all spiritual blessings. Why? Because He chose us before the foundation of the world. Why? Because He's predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Notice Paul said, according to the good pleasure of His will. Sadly, we don't always appropriate what we have in Jesus. In fact, we spend a lot of time asking for things that He's already given to us. For example, we pray for love when God says that His love is shed abroad in our hearts. As Romans 5:5 says, you and I pray for peace when Jesus has already said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We pray for joy when the Bible plainly tells us that we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. In 1 Peter 1:8 and Galatians 5:22 tells us that these things are the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And when Christ is in us, He will produce these things in us as we abide in Christ Jesus. That's not all. You and I pray for strength to do the things that God has called us to do. When He already told us in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We worry about our needs when the Lord has already said that He would meet them. He said that He would supply all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul said that to the Philippians in 4:19. We seek His presence when He has said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, how oftentimes we as Christians live far below the spiritual blessing level that Christ wants us to live. So oftentimes we become trapped. We become trapped in this flesh that we live in, and we do not exercise the incredible riches out of the storehouse of Christ that we have in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. Let me tell you, you and I, We possess these wonderful, wonderful blessings that are ours because Christ loved us. Christ died for us. Christ arose. Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave. And let me tell you, the spiritual blessings that you and I are entitled to as adopted into the family of God, being chosen in Him, having predestined us to this adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, to Himself according to the goodwill, pleasure of His will. Let me tell you, you and I need to be hanging on to these wonderful spiritual blessings that we have because of Christ Jesus. And so we see the source of these blessings is God, and the subjects of these blessings are to the faithful saints, those of us. And of course, the scope of these blessings are far more extensive than you and I can ever begin to imagine. And so oftentimes we'll pray, as I mentioned a few moments ago, for peace when Scripture says, "My peace I give unto you." We pray for love. You and I, God is love, and we have the love of God in our hearts. And so oftentimes we fall so short of these incredible spiritual blessings that God wants us to have in our lives. And then we see the storehouse of these blessings. Paul says that our blessings are located where? In heavenly places. Now, some people believe this means that those are up there in heaven. But in truth, it really means that our blessings are in the supernatural realm. Remember, our blessings are spiritual blessings. They're supernatural in nature. Think of it maybe this way. When you get saved, you and I, we become citizens of heaven according to Philippians 3:20. We live here, but we also live there. We're passing through this world. We don't belong here anymore. Our hearts are no longer here. Well, I say that unfortunately, I'm afraid all too often we let our flesh reign us in and we think that we're just living for now. No, we are living because we are pilgrims and strangers in life, and we're passing through to head to a place called heaven. Let me tell you, our actions should no longer be the actions of this world, because we really are people that live in two different worlds. We live in the present world, but let me tell you, according to Scripture, we're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. We live on the earth, but we commune with God in the supernatural realm as strangers and pilgrims in this world. Let me tell you, we realize that one of these days we'll be there with Jesus, and our thrones are there. Our mansion that He has prepared is there. And our God and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, is there. Many of our loved ones are there. Many of our friends are there. So we live in the world, this present world, but the world that we long for is there with God Himself. That's why Paul would say, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as pure, yet making rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. And then in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. You see, in this world that you and I live in, it's easy to get perplexed. It's easy to feel distressed. It's easy to feel trouble on every side. It's easy to feel forsaken, forgotten, and persecuted. But Paul says we may experience some of those things, but we are not destroyed. Let me tell you, Paul understood what we often forget. Paul understood that in Jesus Christ, you and I are wealthy beyond belief. We merely need to appropriate the things that we have been given through the treasure chest of God's wonderful riches in glory that He has for us. When we meet Jesus, we became one with Him. And as a result, everything that belongs to Him belongs to us, as Romans 8:16 and 17 says. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I want you to think about it. If we are in Christ, that means where he is, we are. Let me tell you, Ephesians 2:6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us all, made us sit together, where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What he does? According to 1 John 2:6, what he possesses, we possess. Romans 8:17, his privileges are our privileges. Ephesians 2:18. You see, everything that Jesus has, the redeemed saints of God have. We have it, not because we deserve it, but we have been given these things because of our the work in our hearts, in our lives, that we have been so blessed with. I know when you come to the book of Ephesians there in verse 6, notice Paul goes on when he speaks there in verse 5 about having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And then in verse 6 he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Aren't you grateful tonight? Oh, to grace. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let me tell you, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And Paul gives this wonderful, he's praising God for his incredible sovereignty. And don't get so hooked up on the issues of being chosen from the foundation of the world, of trying to be able to understand all of these things. Let me tell you, you and I obviously do not have the mind of Christ, the mind of God. Therefore, I just reach out by faith and trust that when he chose us, he did it before the foundation of the world. He's the one that was choosing. He's the one that chose us in him. He predestined us to adoption. Let me tell you, I'm so grateful today to know that I'm a part of the family of God because I've been grafted in. I've been adopted into the family of God. And even though you and I, we may get hung up on semantics and terminology and all of these things that a lot of people love to argue about and all of those things, I found out a long time ago, take God's word at what God says, reach out by faith, grasp a hold of it, and in your heart know and believe that God is the sovereign God of this universe. God is in control. God is in charge. God already knows about tomorrow before tomorrow ever comes. Let me tell you, God knew about you from eternity past to eternity present. And if you know him, let me tell you, he has not forgotten you. And you have all of these wonderful riches in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you and I should be praising God for his wonderful, matchless, infinite grace, for these spiritual blessings that we have through him, because he is the sovereign God of heaven and earth. As we continue to study the book of Ephesians, I hope that you will mature, that you and I will continue to grow in our knowledge and in the word of God, and that we will take it and we will apply it and we will use it to reach out to help other people as we are traveling through this world, even though our citizenship is in heaven. I'm thankful for the book of Ephesians. I'm thankful for what the Apostle Paul had to say as he gives praise and utterance to the Ephesians through this wonderful book, of helping them understand that they were living as beggars when they should have been living with the riches of the wonderful blessings of Almighty God that they have through Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. May God bless you for tuning in to this live stream tonight as we continue our studies in the book of Ephesians on Wednesday evening and Sunday evenings. Will you bow with me as we pray this evening? Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you once again for the privilege, for the opportunity that we have to come together and to realize our spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for the wonderful hope that it gives us, for the incredible peace that surpasses all human understanding. And God, I pray that you would help us, that we would rise up to the treasure house of Almighty God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Father, that we would utilize the spiritual blessings that we have in you. We praise you tonight, awesome Almighty God. We praise you for your sovereign acts of grace upon our lives. And God, we pray that you will help us as we study this book together in the days ahead, that we would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.